chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Brethren and sisters in Christ, the great apostasy is upon us. All around us today, we hear the feeble sounds of the people Antichrist and the false prophets of the ecumenical movement. The churches of Christendom, so-called, have apostatized. And alas, what true churches are left have felt the cold and chilling blasts of this adulterous end time generation. In mad infatuation for worldly scholarship, worldly attainment, and worldly recognition, these churches have grievously departed from vital and spiritual Christianity. The prayer altars are forsaken. Strong doctrinal preaching is forgotten. Fervent evangelism is largely unknown. And a blight has settled down upon the congregations of the people of God. To maintain in these days fundamental Bible truth is to make oneself an oddity, to cry aloud against everything that savors of Baalism and pernicious idolatry, is to brand oneself as an extremist, to stand where the prophets stood, to stand where the apostles stood, to stand where the reformers stood, to stand where the Puritans stood, to stand where the great revival preachers of the past generation stood, is to go it alone, like Elijah of old. What does the Church of Jesus Christ need in order to successfully and gloriously combat this last end time struggle with Antichrist and Antichristianity? We need a double portion of the Spirit of God. Elisha took up the cry, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I want to take up that cry today in this convention. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? This cry is an inquiry, and we might make that inquiry today. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? May God help us to inquire after Him. When we seek Him with all our hearts, we shall find Him. This is not only an inquiry, but this is an affirmation. Elisha believed in the Lord God of Elijah. I believe in the Lord God of Elijah today. May we say from our heart, Elijah's God still lives today to take the guilt of sin away. And when I cry in Jesus' name, He answers still by fire. It is not only an affirmation, but it's a prayer. Elisha faced with his first obstacle in his ministry. He uttered this prayer, Oh, where is the Lord God of Elijah? May we utter that as a prayer today. Why tarriest thou, O my God? Wilt thou not rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains may flow at thy presence? This is not only a prayer, but praise God, it's a challenge. And we can challenge the apostasy today. And we can challenge the Roman Antichrist today. And we can challenge the machinery of hell engineered by the pit. and we can say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? May God help us to take up this inquiry. May God help us to make this affirmation. May God help us to utter this prayer. May God help us to really forthrightly put forth this challenge. Could I draw your attention to the fact Elisha is a type generally of the church and particularly of a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Don't you see Christ here in Elijah? He goes down into death. And praise God, when he died, I died with him. He took me down into death. Remember this, that Elijah took Elisha down into the depth of Jordan. But he not only brought him down to the depths, but he brought him up into the heights on the other side. And I am not only identified with my great Elijah in his death, but I am identified with my great Elijah in his rising again. One when he died, and one when he arose. One when he triumphed over all his foes. One in heaven when he took a seat, and all heaven rejoiced over hell's defeat. And when Elisha got on to resurrection ground with Elijah, he could ask a hard thing. And if God brings us as the people of God unto resurrection ground, we'll be in the place where we can ask for a double portion of the Spirit of God. And they went on together, and Elijah was taken up into heaven. That's a type of the resurrection and ascension of our Lord. But you know, there was something he left behind him. He left behind his clothing. Who was it that clothed the Lord Jesus? It was the Spirit of the Lord. Thank God, in his ascension, there is the blessing of a Pentecost. And Elisha took up the habit, the clothing, and the garment of Elijah. But there was one thing he did. He took his own raiment and he tore it up. Yeah. And then he clothed himself in the garments of Elijah. He is a type of Jesus Christ. But my friend, there's a journey before you come to the place where you get the garment of Elijah. There's a journey. We're going to take this journey this morning. Look at that first great verse, chapter 2. And it came to pass, verse 1, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. They started at Gilgal. And we're talking about revival. The first place you've got to get is to Gilgal. A lot of Christians have never got to Gilgal yet. You want to know what Gilgal is? Turn over to Joshua, chapter 5. In verse 8, and it came to pass when they had done the circumcising, all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Joshua 5 and verse 9. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, the place of circumcision. It is a place where the last connecting link with Egypt is broken. It is a place where the brand mark of the cross is put upon their life. Separation. Let me say this morning. Let me say it very lovingly to those who are still in the great apostate churches of Christendom. Let me tell you, you needn't waste your time praying for revival in apostasy. God has no revival for Sodom. God has judgment fire for Sodom. And I want to say this morning that the first place we've got to come to is the place of Gilgal, where the reproach of Egypt can be rolled away. And much of the reproach of Egypt still in your heart. How much are you still taken up with Egyptian things? How much, my friend, are you still longing for the flesh pots and the garlic of Egypt? Would you answer it this morning? If I'm going to come to the place where I can cry effectually and effectively, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I've got to quit with Egypt. You know, the knife of circumcision is a type of the cross. And my friend, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. It's not an easy road to get to resurrection soil, friend. The flesh will suffer. The flesh will feel the pain. I had a dear woman joined our church last night. She's an office in one of the Presbyterian churches she has been for years. And she said, "Mr. Paisley, I'm absolutely alone in this stand." She said, "My nearest friends hate me at the very suggestion of the thought that I should worship in this house." That woman's enduring the cross. God bless her. Thank God for people who are struggling out of apostasy in these days. My, it's the first step to revival, friend. You're on the road when you say goodbye to apostasy. When you say farewell to the churches of the Antichrist. And I'm glad I'm not spending my time bolstering up anti-Christianity. I'm glad I'm spending my time getting people out of the great apostasy. Gilgal. But we don't stay there. God didn't separate this church and didn't separate you, my brother, to stay in Gilgal. My friend, separation is an order to revival. There are fundamentalist churches throughout the world, and they are separated doctrinally. And they're separated ecclesiastically. But they're as dead as the dust on old Pharaoh's mummy. They've just got to Gilgal, and that's all they've got. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. God didn't call us out to leave us in the wilderness. He called us out to bring us in to a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. My dear friend, there's honey in the rock for you, my brother. So we come from Gilgal. Where do we come to? To Bethel, to the house of God. I want to tell you the true house of God is reached by the road of separation. So friend, if you're going to a so-called house of God along a road that's marked ecumenism, it's not the house of the Lord you're going to. For the road of separation leads to Bethel, the house of God. And my friend, when you separate from apostasy, you'll see your Lord. When you get, my friend, the fire upon the lips to cleanse away the sin stains, you'll be able to speak to and of the Lord Himself. So we come to the house of God. But I want you to notice that the house of God is in the pathway to revival, and our brother Jack has ably dealt with this. The house of God is closely associated with discipline. You know, there's no such a thing as sinless perfection for the believer. We have always sins to mourn over and judge and put away. And the house of God is the place of discipline. But it's the place where the Lord is ahead. You know, the first time that Joshua was at Jericho wasn't when he started marching round the walls. I want you to notice that. You turn to Joshua 5, and after the circumcising at verse 13, we read, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Joshua, as the commander-in-chief, went and had a look at the city that he was going to assault. And as he was standing there, behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Joshua was a party man. He wanted to know whether this man was for his party or whether this man was against his party. But the Lord rebuked him. He said, Joshua, I'm not for you. I'm not for your party. I'm the captain of the Lord's host. You're my servant. And Joshua worshipped him on holy ground. And when I come to Bethel, the house of God, God has to judge the party spirit. There would be a terrible danger amongst us, having reached Gilgal and having come to the house of God and having known the blessings of God in His house, to develop a party spirit. We must guard against it. God is not interested in a party name. God is not concerned with the shibboleths of any party. God can of the very stones raise up children unto Abraham. No church has a monopoly of the Holy Ghost. And if the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster doesn't follow hard after the Lord and doesn't remain loyal to its first principles and doesn't stand true to Christ all down the line, God will raise up another church to do His work. You have no monopoly of the Spirit of God. God is not interested in the party. Let the party name perish. Let Jesus be exalted. We've got to learn that. It's harder to learn when God comes in and blessing, you know. As our brother was saying, when the battle is hard, when we have our backs against the wall, when few are the numbers attending the sanctuary, then we cling close to Him. But when the pews are packed, when the finances are good, when blessing is upon us, how dangerous it is to develop the party spirit. May the good Lord deliver us from it. May we know what it is to come to Jordan, to Jericho today. And having come from Gilgal to Bethel, and from Bethel to Jericho, we go on to Jordan. We go on to the place where self must die, that the Spirit of God may have absolute control. I wonder, has God brought us to the bank? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? You'll never know Him in power. You'll never see His manifested glory. You'll never see the mighty miracles of His grace until you stand at the bank of Jordan and learn to die. The way to life is death. The way to conquest is a crucifixion, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. How? In fellowship in His sufferings. Got to die to our ambitions, to our plannings, to our purposings. We've got to hand ourselves over to the Lord. You know, poor old Elisha here, he said, I'm going to follow hard. He says, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I'm not going to let you go. My, I trust you'll say that to your Lord today. You'll say, Lord, I'm going to keep close to you. Though He leads me through the garden, though He leads me through the fire, though He brings me to the cross, I'm going to go with Him all the way. Oh, that we had this absolute and altogether determination not to leave Him. And what happened? There were a lot of spectators. Only one man went through with the Lord, with Elijah. There'll be a lot of spectators, I can tell you that. There's a lot of people who want to stand back and watch this thing.
But there's very few people prepared to be identified with Christ in his sufferings. The sons of the prophet, the theological students of Jericho, they were skeptics. You find that out afterwards. They went looking for Elijah. They'll look a long time for him, for he's gone. He's got an address in heaven. They'll not find him. But let me tell you something, friend. There'll be many spectators. Not many in this convention will go through with God. Not many. Will you go through? And when the Jordan came, instead of it being a devastation, it was a glorious triumph. The waters were parted, and he went down into death with Elijah. And you know, that day, there was a great divide. Elisha never was to be the same again. Something was going to happen to him. The next time he went over that Jordan, he was a different man. My friend, you can be a different man and a different woman after this meeting this morning. You can go over the great divide with the Lord. There'll be a lot of things you'll have to bury in that Jordan wave. What have they seen in my house? Maybe some of the baubles of the world will have to be buried in the depths of that wave. Maybe some of the associations of time. Maybe some of life's ambitions. But my friend, let me tell you, better to have the presence of the great Elijah than to have all the prosperity of Jericho. And they went down and they came up on the other side. And when they got on to resurrection ground, old Elijah said, "Now you've come all the way, Elisha. Have you a prayer? Have you a petition?" And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." That was a greedy prayer, wasn't it? You know, I want to tell you that God puts greedy prayers into the hearts of those that get onto resurrection ground. You remember that old Puritan who said, "God has given me a holy gluttony for souls." He had a greedy prayer in his heart. My friend, you'll be greedy for blessing if God deals with you. You'll not be able to live without it. The things of earth will fade. And Elijah said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing." Nevertheless, Elisha, you have asked a hard thing, but if you see me go up, I want to tell you, if you see me go up, you'll get the blessing. And they went on together. And they talked, and behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And the chariot of fire and the horse of fire came in between them. Elijah didn't go to heaven in a chariot of fire, you know. Because the chariot of fire and the horses of fire is a type of God's presence in the church. And God's presence remains with us on earth. Elijah went to heaven in a whirlwind. Different thing altogether. Do you remember in after years old Elisha, the enemy was after him, and they went down and surrounded the city where he was staying, and his servant went out and he saw all around the city the enemy. And the man came down to Elisha and he says, "We're defeated." And Elisha says, "Open the young man's eyes." And when his eyes were opened, he saw the chariot of fire and the horsemen thereof. The Lord's presence doesn't leave his people. They were parted. And Elisha saw it. He saw him go up. He had his eye upon the ascending Elijah. I want to tell you, friend, you will never know the double portion of the Holy Ghost until your eye is glued and fixed upon the risen Christ. Set your affections on things above, not on things beneath, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. But praise God, he leaves something for Elisha. The habit, the clothing, the mantle is left behind. I remember a great word of my Savior. "Greater things than these shall ye do because
I go unto my Father. Oh, that the Christian church would get their hands on that text this morning. Greater things than these shall you do. In the early church at Pentecost, filled with the Spirit of God, went forth and they toppled the edifices of paganism. And they pulled down the temples of Baal. And they planted Christianity across the continent. Greater things than these shall you do. And Elisha takes his garments. Look at them. His own clothes. And rent them in two pieces. So that they were no good for him anymore. He couldn't wear them. And they put on the mantle of Elijah. When the church of Jesus Christ lays aside its own clothing, the clothing of worldly scholarship and worldly recognition and worldly attainment and carnal ways of planning and doing things, and when the Christian is done with the energy of the flesh and the might of carnality, lift me, Lord, oh, lift me higher. From the carnal mind set free, fill me with refining fire. Give me perfect liberty. That garment you have on, my brother, that's of the flesh, it's only a grave cloth. Get it off you this morning. Let the Lord give you the mantle of Elijah. And he comes to the Jordan, and the first obstacle he's meeting now, he's coming up against it. And he cries, where is the Lord God of Elijah? The Lord God of Elijah is with him. That's where he is, right with him. And he takes the mantle, he takes the power of the Holy Ghost, and he smites the obstacle, and it parts. And he goes over. And he didn't need to tell the skeptics that God had blessed them. They already knew it. And when a church is baptized with power, the world will know it. The spectators will know it. The nation will know it. My friend, you'll not need any advertising when God, the Holy Ghost, comes down in your life. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? May we take the journey. May we go with God. And may God go with us. And bring us to the place of spiritual empowering for his name's sake.